Le he dicho las páginas, que tiene que ser la 4 y la 5.
I'm in a building called Cancun Mese, here at the UN Climate Summit. It's a large convention room that acts as a security gateway to the place the actual negotiations on how to deal with climate change are taking place, which is an exclusive beachfront resort a few kilometers away called Moon Palace. That's the sound of the security scanners, making sure everyone has a valid ID badge before entry. Every day, delegates from 192 countries and dozens of NGOs, press, and staff pass through these checkpoints. It's been known to bottleneck, just like the TSA security screenings at the airport. Except here, they don't make you take your shoes off. Today, my goal is to meet with representatives from the US delegation on climate change. Despite being ignored via email, I have some questions I'd like to ask them. One of these questions is about last week's WikiLeaks U.S. Embassy cables published in The Guardian that revealed how the U.S. engaged in a secret global diplomatic campaign to force nations to sign on to last year's non-binding climate deal, the Copenhagen Accord.
You know, I can't really answer any of those. You're going to have to direct those to our press office.
The thing is, I have tried to contact the press office several times.
That's the only method we have right now? Is there so many questions coming in? But I can't give you any more than that, other than to speak to our press office.
I'm not the only one having trouble getting in touch with the U.S. delegation. Bob Gruning is a senior policy analyst for the National Tribal Environmental Council.
Of course, my perspective coming here was to try to bring more visibility with respect to indigenous peoples, and we have attempted to set up some meetings with the delegation and to get a sense of how they're taking indigenous peoples' issues and tribes in the U.S., their issues into account. And so far, we've been able to get a meeting with them, and the same was true when we were in Copenhagen as well. So with respect to indigenous peoples' issues, we're not really privy to what's going on behind the scenes.
Someone who is privy to the goings-on behind the scenes is Alex Stark. She's the American negotiator tracker with Tick, 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 a global climate action campaign.
I have a lot of sympathy for the U.S. delegates here. I really think that their hands are tied in a lot of ways in these negotiations. On the one hand, they have to report back to the State Department and to President Obama. They also have to, and this is something that they emphasize repeatedly, they have to find a deal here that they can bring back to Congress.
Stark says that despite the reputation of the U.S. at the climate talks as being obstructionist to progress on an agreement, she does think the role of the U.S. is important here.
Certainly a lot of negotiators and civil society organizations here see the United States as blocking a lot of progress on the different issues, and a lot of times, frankly, the U.S. gets a bad rap at these negotiations, and not always unfounded, certainly, but I do think that the United States is playing an important, if not necessarily terribly constructive role, certainly just because the United States emits a quarter of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. It's essential to kind of bring us into this process. I'm generally hopeful that, you know, you hear all the negotiators saying they want to see a balanced package of outcomes here. And I do think that that's achievable, not necessarily a binding emissions reduction agreement.
But Rolf Skar, a senior campaigner with Greenpeace, doesn't think that's enough, although he agrees that the U.S. is playing an important role at the climate talks.
Yeah, the U.S. is arguably still the most important party in the negotiations, even if it's by holding things up. For example, in RED, we've seen a lot of the weakening of standards and sort of the low bar setting, if you will, basically start to match U.S. positions. So parties from the EU to other important parties in these discussions have over time gradually watered down their policy standards to basically match the U.S. And unfortunately, what we see is a bit of a race to the bottom on some of these issues in order to bring the U.S. along.
Huzi Mushelia, a green energy consultant from Nigeria, echoes these concerns.
The United States have not been quite helpful on this negotiation. First of all, on the terms of pledges, the United States, even though it's not a party to the COP Kyoto Protocol, was supposed to take some comparative commitments. Those are not forthcoming. And I think the United States has not shown leadership in this negotiation that it ought to have shown as a world-leading country. And I think it's quite regrettable.
Regrettable is one way to put it. But in a speech today in front of the United Nations, the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, put it differently.
Effect efectos del calentamiento global y no las causas del calentamiento global.
We will be responsible for ecocide, which is equivalent to genocide, because this would be an affront to mankind as a whole. And hearing from experts and scientists, 300,000 people die a year already because of climate change, and it's calculated that in coming years, this will be a million deaths, human beings dying every year as a direct result of climate change. The human being cannot live without Mother Earth, without our planet. But the planet can very well exist without us. We're talking about survival, living in harmony, coexisting with Mother Earth. And we're here in Cancun to save nature, to save the forests, and in short, to save the world. We're not here to turn nature into a good, an asset. We're not here to try to ensure the survival of capitalism with carbon credits. The forests are sacred to the peoples of the world, and we cannot allow new policies that seek merely to ensure the survival of capitalism. Ladies and gentlemen, if we do not genuinely believe in why global warming has occurred, in other words, capitalism, then we can have endless meetings between presidents and organizations, but we will never find a solution to this problem that affects mankind, each and every one of us. But let me say that I am persuaded that if governments fail to do so, then it will be the people who will assume the responsibilities that should be borne by our governments.
That was Evo Morales, president of Bolivia, speaking through a translator at the UN summit today in Cancun. The climate change talks come to a close tomorrow, with nations of the world having less than 24 hours to come up with a concrete agreement to tackle climate change. From Cancun, Mexico, this is Kelly Benjamin for WMNF News.